Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and here is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy. How are we?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm all good. Good. I'm just trying to think if I've got anything to report, but I don't think I have.
And that's probably for the best, because people, frankly, would rather hear us talk about friends than the nitty-gritty ins and outs of our lives.
Oh, well, now you said that, I want to give people really mundane information.
When's your next haircut booked for?
My next haircut, Dave, will probably be a week on Thursday.
If you don't know, Pete has his haircut once a fortnight. So,
actually,
a week on Thursday is a very... It's about as far as you could get, you know. It's like
it is really, yeah. It's also the day before my work Christmas do.
Ah, yeah, you got time.
So, got to look fresh for the old Christmas do.
Where's the Christmas do? In London town?
No, in Birmingham.
Birmingham town.
I don't actually know where it is, but I have been told we all owe a tenner, which I think a tenner for a Christmas do.
That's very reasonable, and I'm glad the BBC is not taken out of my licence fee, frankly.
We wouldn't want the licence fee going on a piss-up.
Please let me know if there's any sign of anything over the value of £10 being spent, then I'll send my invoice to you personally to reimburse me for my licence fee for it.
Just to dispel any concerns anyone listening may have, the BBC's policy on not using your licence fee to go towards Christmas dues is so strict that it ends up... Like, I've been to a Christmas do, which was in a building that the BBC had just moved out of, and they basically threw, a house party in a disused office, and you had to bring your own booze. One. Yeah.
Yeah, I was
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Was I there with you?
I don't know. I can't really remember. That's fun, isn't it?
Great night. So that is how strict they are. Like, yeah. they got the employees to DJ and everything.
I do remember thinking, like, at the BBC Christmas parties I went to when I worked there, like, I mean, I know you've been careful, lads, but come on, give us something. Give us a free little glass of champagne or anything, you know.
I'm curious Christmas. To know what my tenner will get me.
Well, exactly, that's what I'm interested in. What's that going towards? Is that a small little buffet, or is it like a paid bar and then you get like a couple of sausages or something?
A couple of sausages.
Great now, Ale.
is that a Christmassy? Well, pig in blanket.
Yeah,
obviously.
I'm just thinking of like sort of that sort of office-y kind of vibe where you just get a generic beige buffet, you know?
Do you know what I hate when it comes to food at this time of year?
Yeah.
I hate Christmas markets.
I'm glad you said that, because I don't hate them per se, but I do not understand the obsession with them.
Right, I live in a city which is particularly well known for its very big Christmas market, yeah. Birmingham. It's known for it. And then I was walking through town the other day, and it was chucking down with rain. It was freezing, and it was really windy. And then there was people just like sat under what looked like a gazebo from Argos, drinking a pint of generic lager, which I looked had cost them £6.50 from some sort of tankard on a park bench.
Right,
it was like, stop pretending. You're not festive right now. No, you're fucking cold.
Well, this is the thing. And like, no offense to Birmingham, which is a fun city. And, you know, I say the same about Manchester, where I'm
having
from,
a lovely time.
And Leeds. But I get, what I do get a little bit more is if I want to go to like Oslo and go to a Christmas market. Do you know what I mean? Like a little sort of, if you're on holiday, but there can't be that many people on holiday in Birmingham.
Christmas markets should be reserved for more inherently Christmassy places.
Right.
And I am loving living in Birmingham very genuinely, but it is not... Not an inherently Christmassy place.
Yeah, you go to like Finland or somewhere, you'd be like, this makes sense.
Like, also, Birmingham? They were serving sausages by the half metre.
Trying to work out how big a sausage that is.
It's fucking massive, mate.
Yeah, that is a big sausage, isn't it?
Like, I've heard of footlongs, but I haven't heard them. it takes me back. I've heard of footlongs. Like, food measured in feet is quite, you know, Subway.
That's a big sausage, to be fair.
Yeah. Half a metre.
Half a metre. Yeah, I'm just sort of plotting it out. I'm like, yeah, it's a fucking massive sausage, isn't it? Okay, well, do you know what? I'm almost tempted to come to Birmingham for a half a metre sausage.
Wow. The offer's there.
Great. Thanks,
mate. Actually, no, it's not, because it's shit and I don't want to go.
Right. Well, having said we won't talk about anything else, and we'll just talk about Friends straight away, we've absolutely... done the opposite of that. So should we move on to today's request, Peter? It's a double request of the day.
Oh.
As you know, because you've sent me them, because this is how we behind the scenes work.
I'm surprised. I'm literally staring at their names.
Firstly, Rosina. A name almost like a chair. Hi, guys. Huge fan of the podcast. I've been recommending it to all my friends. Inverted commas, very good. Well, that's nice. I'm going to the office every Wednesday since last March. And the only thing that makes my journey entertaining is listening to your new episodes. Oh, Rosina.
The only thing.
Be interested to know where you're driving. Like, I presume like the drive isn't very interesting and there's nothing like... you know, to entertain you along the way. But what's your route, Rosina? That's what we need to know. I've had some funny stares from other drivers. I chuckle to myself, but as Joe would say, I'm not even sorry. The episode I would like you to discuss is the one where Rachel tells... ... Oh, yeah, she got the original title correctly, like you said last week. Season 8, Episode 3. I knew the new episodes aren't considered classics, but I do think this episode definitely is. The whole Ross-Rachel scenes are hilarious from start to finish. Ross's freaked-out acting is priceless, and the other storylines are just as funny, and I can proudly admit that I quote Phoebe's "That is brand new information" frequently, and luckily everyone I say it to knows where it's from. Keep up the good work. You're doing an amazing job. Oh, thanks, Rosie. No, we shouldn't read out the compliments, really, but we will. That is brand new information. It is absolutely... That's like an iconic Friends moment, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's good to happen upon it, finally, in this episode. So that's Rosina. The second request, Pete, is from...
Louisa.
Are you reading that one out?
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, mixing up the format, are we? All right, exciting.
Well, Louisa says, well, since still no one has requested it, the one where Rachel tells, little did she know someone had requested it, but we move on. Just purely for Ross, forget about the condom. I may as well have, she says. That's obviously her favourite line. Says, I'll admit, I had to look at the other plots, and obviously Monica and Chandler are awful on their honeymoon, but Joey and Phoebe learning that they aren't trusted with the keys does make me chuckle. So maybe this hasn't been requested because there's only one solid storyline, but I stand by it.
Interesting.
Interesting to note that Louisa didn't compliment us.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? I mean, frankly, should we just cut out her request completely, or should we leave her in, you know?
Disappointing.
Some sort of point in writing to us if you're not going to massage our egos, eh? We're joking, of course. We're joking. We find it terribly embarrassing when you compliment us. Would you like a synopsis?
Yeah, please.
The one where Rachel tells. Season 8, Episode 3, 227403. First aired October the 11th, 2001. I don't usually say that, but that becomes relevant. Here's a synopsis in the meantime. No, Chandler and Monica are about to leave for their honeymoon. Honeymoon? Freudian slip. As Rachel prepares to tell Ross they're having a baby. Phoebe and Joey try to get into Monica and Chandler's apartment by telling Mr. Trieger there is a gas leak, but Trieger couldn't find the spare key and instead calls firefighters who break down the door. That's a very short synopsis, actually. Someone can be asked for that, really. It doesn't really include much of it at all. But that's all you need to know, I guess. Well, should we start with the bit of the episode that doesn't exist anymore, or should we do that at the end? Ooh. What a tease. What a fucking tease.
That is... Right. Explain the context before I say what I was going to say.
Okay, well, so this episode, like I said, aired on October the 11th, 2001, and so the whole plot line where Chandler and Monica are sort of getting pipped to the post in the airport by this other couple was a hastily re-recorded and rewritten sort of reshoot just before the episode went out, because the original plot line was entirely around Chandler getting pulled in by airport security for being a bomb threat.
And the thing, like, you sent me this, the scenes, you can watch them on YouTube if you want to see them.
Yeah.
Quite bizarrely, accidentally on the nose, right? To write an episode which ended up coincidentally being so close to the event itself. Yeah. Like, the jokes are about being a terrorist and bombing a plane. They are like, it's not even a case of them being cautious to avoid offending people at an emotional time. It's the most, like, there is no way in hell they could possibly have aired that episode as it was.
No, oh, absolutely not. It was like, it would have seemed like trolling. There would have been such a huge backlash to it, wouldn't it? It would seem so deliberate, because actually, when you take out it was shot before 9/11 and then obviously went out just after 9/11, but before 9/11, like, as I remember, and I wasn't that old, but huge heightened airport security all kicked in after 9/11. Before that, it wasn't really a thing people talked about that much, as far as I remember. And the fact that they've picked out this specific plot line at this specific month of the, the biggest year in sort of American security history, as it were, in that century, is nuts, isn't it? Because it's like, it's almost prescient.
But that scene can only have been written pre 9/11, right? That scene just probably doesn't exist these days.
It's just so bizarre that they wrote it
even
just
21 years on.
Yeah, just before 9/11, they were just like, "Hey, let's do a plot line about bombs on planes." You know, that seems like a funny thing. Because actually, I don't know. Did you watch these scenes that I sent you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
yeah. Don't you feel like they're a bit weird? Like, they're a bit not frenzy. Like,
yeah, they're a bit serious, aren't they? I feel like the punchlines are heavier than anything you're used to hearing.
Yeah, there's a whole sort of rant where Chandler is talking to the airport security when he's being taken aside, where he's like, I'm only joking about bombs. The sign said, don't joke about bombs. Surely the sign should say, no bombs, no bombs at all. You know, like, surely the person with the bomb is the bigger problem. It's like a proper bizarre rant that doesn't have very many jokes in it, that seems like it could only have been written after 9/11 in a weird way. Does that make sense? Even though it was definitely written before it. It's really strange. Those scenes don't seem very frenzy. They seem like a strange departure from the normal sort of friend style of comedy. And in that version, they get bumped up to first class, Pete. So 9/11 cost Chandler and Monica.
Yeah, it's a completely different story, isn't
it? Their chance of the first class tickets. Monica, I mean, the only other thing about it, Monica's bag gets opened, everything gets taken out of it. She's absolutely gutted that all the clothes get taken out of it, which, frankly, I have a lot of sympathy for. Fucks me off when they do that at airport. So you want to look through my bag? Fine. But repack it like I've repacked it. It's taken me 1,000 hours to do that because, frankly, I'm not very good at spatial awareness. And there's only one way all that stuff's fitting in that suitcase. Anyway, so that scene got dropped. And then, and it's really interesting to watch because Chandler's hair in the previously shot scenes, and then in that sort of opening scene of the show, when just before they're about to head off, his haircuts are different.
Oh, are they? Well, that's something you'd only spot with hindsight.
Yeah, absolutely. That's because he walks into a room at the start of the episode, and when he comes out, his hair is different. His hair is, like, significantly shorter, because they've obviously cut the old versions back in there, you know?
Well, I recommend digging them out on YouTube, because it's interesting to see for...
It is worth a watch.
A bit of a time capsule.
It is a little bit of a time capsule. Well, should we do the rest of that plot line while we're here before we move on to the main bits, shall we?
I mean, Chandler is speedo shamed, isn't he? Which, arguably, I'd say back in fashion these days.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would be worried about wearing a speedo these days. Also, this is just an Anglo-American thing, but we don't say a speedo, do we?
No, speedos.
We say
plural.
Speedos, yeah. We don't singularize, but I guess... Well, I don't like to say this very often, Pete, but I think the Americans are probably right on this one.
Well, they are, because it's a brand, isn't it?
Well, A is a brand, and B, there's only one of them.
That's true.
Well, speedos.
Therefore, you're wearing trouser.
No, you're wearing a pair of trousers, aren't you?
Well, is the trouser just one leg?
A singular leg, yeah. The full thing of trousers is a pair of trousers, right?
Yeah, you're right. but they never come separately, do they? You don't like put them on one leg and then put them on the other. Well, you do. They're just stitched together. No, I expressed that confusingly. You don't.
Yeah, not like giant. They're not like
your
giant.
Your trouser legs aren't completely separate.
Not like giant leg long stockings.
Yeah.
you roll them all the
like
way up to
mermaid.
The top.
Yeah.
I wonder if back in the day they were just individual trousers, one trouser on each leg. Well, then what would you do with your crotch? That's the problem, isn't it? Everything's hanging out in the middle of your pair of trousers then, isn't it?
And do you just have half a crotch on each side?
Maybe you wear one trouser on each leg and then a pair of Speedos to catch the rest.
Yeah, catch it.
Yeah, well, you know, contain? I don't know. But yeah, so Speedos, yeah, I will nod it to the American version. A Speedo is makes more sense. But yeah, it's the other thing that I noticed is when Chandler was trying to cover it up, he says, I'll go and get my regular bathing suit. Now, we would never call swimming shorts a bathing suit, would we?
No, that makes him sound like Special K advert sort of outfit.
Right, exactly. Like a full on. Anyway, isn't it fun to spot the linguistic differences, Peter?
Absolutely.
So Chandler gets Speedo shamed, but Monica's packed for him already. And then off they go to... Oh, I love sitcom airports, because they never look like an airport. It's the same when, like, Ross is waiting for the plane for his honeymoon with Emily, and Rachel pops in. They don't look... I've never been to an airport that looks anything like that in my life, you know?
Also, you know the whole storyline of being desperate to get into the airport lounge?
Right.
The best thing about an airport lounge, which I have on very few occasions been in...
Oh, someone's going to show their true colours now,
please,
Peter.
You've definitely flown first class.
I actually have airport lounge.
Yeah, there you go.
With my Amex, but yeah, sure, carry on.
With my Amex, what a wanker. But the best thing about it is complimentary food. Other than that, it's just a seat, isn't it?
Yeah, but they don't look like that. They do in this bloody episode, do they? It's just like a door to a meeting room in a hotel that they go through. Like
correct,
a normal
yeah.
door. It's always like a big flashy full glass, you know, fronted thing with a big desk. It looks like a proper fancy hotel in Vegas or something, you know? It doesn't look like a small room.
Also, these freebies they keep getting... like at the hotel gives the other couple the honeymoon suite yeah. away for free, right?
Yeah.
Really bad business plan. Yeah. Don't give away your Francis room for free. They've just spent money on a wedding. They right. are used to spending lots of money. Don't give it away for free.
Yeah, I don't. The flight thing is more reasonable. People do get bumped up.
We
on
got
flights.
More seats up for grabs, haven't you?
Right. But the honeymoon suite is the singular. Well, yeah, exactly. That's your absolute top tier thing and comes with a level of service that's very different to the rest of the hotel as well. Do you know what I mean? In terms of what you'd expect and what you want free and what, you know, what you'd expect the staff to do for you. And I don't feel like that's reasonable to just get bumped up to the honeymoon suite. Like, if you're on your honeymoon and you want the honeymoon suite, book the fucking honeymoon suite, lads.
Yeah, exactly.
But like even the check-in desk at the airport that they're in is just like a small carpeted room. Have you ever been in a carpeted airport?
I suppose airports, well, of course, given the finale, they play quite a key role again in Friends, don't they?
A lot of airports and Friends, yeah.
Ross and Rachel with going on Emily's honeymoon and there's a lot of it.
There's airports all over the place when Chandler flies to Yemen and, you know, there's loads of them and they always look like small generic hotels rather than giant airports. Like the gates never look like they actually would in an airport. Anyway, look, that's just something that I always think when I watch these things and it's not very important. And then the whole plot that unfolds, I mean, you can tell it's hastily written, can't you? Because they're basically just, they've just gone, all right, what if there was another couple that keep getting all the free stuff at the end and then they get annoyed? And that's what happens, frankly, isn't it? They get the first class air tickets, they get the lounge as a result of that, and then they get the honeymoon suite. But I do really enjoy Chandler's line at the end after that woman does that horrible, sickly speech of like, well, we don't need free stuff. We're just here to celebrate our love for each other. And there's a pause. And then Chandler goes, no, we need the stuff. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Nobody's that happy, Pete, that they don't want the fucking honeymoon suite. I don't care how much you think you're in love. You still want the fucking honeymoon suite, don't you?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Joey and Phoebe trying to break in?
Right, so my thing with this is, why are Chandler and Monica suddenly so cautious about who's in their apartment and who has a key, given their famously open door policy?
Yeah, I was thinking that. And you know, this extends on to another, the other plot line in this episode, where how weird is it to say Rachel sitting on the floor outside Ross's apartment, as if she hasn't been in there on her own multiple times previously, because definitely has a key. Like, you never ever see any of them waiting outside apartments. Why have... It's almost like somebody started working on the show and was like, guys, this isn't realistic. Can we take all the keys off them for the other apartments? And this is the first episode where they enacted that policy.
I do think Phoebe and Joey's involvement in this episode is really great. They are such a good combo, and that is brand new information. Joey and Phoebe are on form here.
Yeah, it's a really nice pairing for them, and because there's nothing heavy going on in this episode, is there, for Joey and Phoebe, where there's quite a lot of stuff going on elsewhere, and they just get to dick about and be the sort of comedy couple. It's funny when they're sort of the ones in the know with Ross, and he's trying to guess what Rachel wants to talk to him about, and it's funny when they're just breaking down doors and ruining chairs, and you know, all they really contribute to this episode is breaking a lot of stuff in Monica and Chandler's apartment, and they get to have a lot of fun with that, don't they?
Triga says that it's an all-day job to fit the door, and I feel like I could fit a door in less than a day.
I mean, there's not many moving parts in a door, are there? I mean, there's one, famously, but there's like, you chuck it on a hinge, chuck it on the other hinge.
Bob's this is about right? changing the locks. I mean,
well, the
I
new door
like
would
I
just have a
that.
Lock, right? You'd have to put a new door in, then change the lock. You just get a new door with a lock.
You do have to fit, no, because you have to fit the bit in the door frame that fits it.
Right, yeah, but that's what... 15-minute job. There's a hole there already. So, like, take the one out and put the other one in.
I've never really heard Pete and Dave on DIY. But it's...
It'll probably become very apparent when someone that knows what they're talking about gets in touch and goes, yeah, no, here are the many, many things you missed about what you have to do when fitting a door. Frankly, we're not experts, Pete. I haven't changed the door, have you?
No. But I back my ability to do so.
The very final episode of this podcast, when we've done all the Friends episodes, will be a live streamed sort of home improvement style show of me and Pete.
DIY with Friends.
Yeah, head to head, changing a door to see who does it quicker.
Oh, I quite like that.
But a weird way to finish, but I'm quite into it, you know?
Okay.
So look forward to that. Last appearance of Triga, this.
It did feel quite late in Friends to be seeing him.
Yeah, he doesn't pop up much in the later seasons, and obviously he's popped back for this one. I really enjoy the line about him having previously looked after a building that burnt down.
And also the bit where he acknowledges Ross and mentions their yoga class.
Yeah, it's lovely, absolutely. This is like a lovely little bit of background on Triga here, isn't there? Like the sensitive... what's the word? Not janitor. What's the fucking word? Super. I was reaching for a word that we don't really use here ever. That goes to yoga classes every week, and that also has a sketchy past, having had to leave a previous building because it burnt down. I really want to see that origin story in a sort of Better Call Saul fashion. Joey is trying to get some food. Why has Monica left some food in the fridge if she's going on a honeymoon and she's taking away the keys?
And if you're leaving it for someone, it should be in there. You should have given it to them.
Right. And it's not like frozen or anything, because it's just like in a glass, you know, what's it, chops, like lasagna bowl type thing.
It does look like the sort of food which is considerably better when reheated.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Reheat lasagna, better than lasagna.
Yeah, lasagna, you might as well just make a lasagna, let it go cold, put it in the fridge and have it for the next day. Do you know what I mean? If you're really thinking about when to have lasagna, make it a day in advance because it's infinitely better when reheated. But yeah, I'm just intrigued as to why Monica's sort of always got a chicken parm in the fridge.
You know, when there's that conversation at the start about, I'm going to be an aunt and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think she has a point because, you know, when people refer to like aunts and uncles that aren't their actual aunts and uncles.
Is she parents' mates?
Yeah. Nice. I don't we had Auntie Eve. She wasn't a relative. She was just a woman who knitted Thomas the Tank characters.
Right.
And Uncle Peter, he wasn't my uncle.
Yeah. No, I had loads. Our next door neighbour was Auntie Anne. Like, why is she my auntie? Anne. She's not my auntie, is she? She's just our next door neighbour. But the interesting thing about that was we had like three or four people that weren't related to us called Auntie whatever. But they were almost all in the same friendship group as my mum's friendship group, right? But then one of them, Irene, was always just Irene. She didn't get Auntie Irene, so I don't know. I don't know what she did to.
Had she objected to it? I don't know.
I've just thought about it now. I was like, why did we call everyone else Auntie so and so? But poor old Irene was just Irene. And then the only other thing to note about this before we move on to the main event is that when Joey and Phoebe call Monica to ask her to break the door down, you know, in the fake second breaking down, they call her from her own house phone.
Yes.
To her mobile, trying to pretend they're outside the apartment. I mean, come on, guys, think it through.
Yeah, she'd have had a caller ID, wouldn't she?
She doesn't pick it up, but it's a dangerous game you're playing there. Okay, on to the babies, shall we? The babies? Baby, singular. Rachel.
Singular baby. Yeah.
And the bebe. Quite weird that Monica didn't tell Chandler about the baby when everyone else knew, isn't it?
It is. I understand why he feels left out.
Yeah, 100%, especially because it's his wife. I'd feel very... Actually, they sort of gloss over it, and I know the whole joke is Chandler's terrible at keeping secrets, and I really, really, I think my favourite line of the whole episode is, Joey going, tell me later about the secrets, and I'm going, you already know.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a lovely payoff to that whole bit about him not being good at keeping secrets. But even so, all she has to do is say, just don't tell Ross, because Rachel already wants to tell him, and I don't think even an idiot that's not good at secrets would fail on that, right?
This early part of the episode... where sort of Ross's smugness is slowly building up because he thinks that Rachel wants to get back with him.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy the dramatic humbling of Ross from smugness to stunned. Like, even when he stops Rachel before she says anything by saying, to save you from any embarrassment, like, it's so patronising. So it's so good that he ends up kind of silenced by it.
It's horribly insufferable, that whole bit with Joey and Phoebe, and then the bit at the start with Rachel, isn't it? Like, it's... Imagine having that... I mean, this is a classic straight white man, frankly. But imagine having that much confidence in yourself that you're like, I know this is what it's about. And what it's about is how fucking irresistible I am. It can't possibly be anything else. Like, if that was you or me or anyone in that situation and someone you had a one-night stand with was trying to talk to you quite urgently, you're not thinking, oh, they probably want to have a relationship with me and that's going to be awkward. You're probably thinking, all right, probably first thought, oh, they got an STD. They want to tell me.
Yeah.
Second thought, probably pregnant. Probably less so in your.
The odds
sphere.
Of me getting anyone pregnant are really quite slim.
Really quite slim. But you know, medical science is a marvelous thing these days, Peter. Never rule it out.
As they say, up the bum, no babies.
And to jump to the conclusion without all the sort of, surely your instincts would be panic mode at first, you know? You'd be like, oh God, what's the thing that's gone wrong here, basically, before you go, oh God, that must have been such good sex that she is desperate to have that on the regular.
I do love Ross's outrage at the condom success rate. Like, a man of science should really know better here. Just channeling his lack of chill into rage at condom manufacturers is great.
It's a really strange reaction from Ross, and I know it's the comedy reaction, but the reaction he has later, you know, when they're in the hospital and he goes, sorry about that before, I'll be there for whatever you need, all the appointment, you know, I'm here for you, right? That's exactly what you'd expect from Ross. He's the sort of, he's got a kid already, he's the slightly more emotionally mature, brackets, ups and downs, but you know, he's I'd say out of all the guys in Friends, he's the most grown up in inverted commas. Do you know what I mean? He's got the sensible academic job. He's got a kid. He's done all that stuff in his life. And it just seems very out of whack with that personality that he would be so panicked when someone said they were pregnant, you know?
Although the one bit I do hate is when he says to Rachel that they should get married because she can't possibly do this alone. Like, even if she couldn't, you don't have to get married to support her.
That like, was really...
It's such a leap.
Very hashtag Qatar 22, wasn't it? That just like very female oppressive attitude to just be like, of course we can. And the way he just drops it so casually is fucking weird. Like it comes out of nowhere. And obviously Rachel's reaction is... Huh? What? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's not the middle ages. No, you don't have to get married. And yeah, that idea of you couldn't possibly do this alone because you can't go. I don't go to restaurants on my own, Pete. I'm not that guy.
And aside from that strange attitude towards Rachel, like, this is a really, really good scene. Like, by the way, Pottery Barn gets another surprise mention. I didn't realise Pottery Barn got a mention outside of the one that's all about Pottery Barn, basically.
Yeah, they obviously had a little sort of extended deal, didn't they?
But the one bit that I don't think I've ever clocked in this scene before, I'm a big fan of Rachel describing having a sheet over her naked crotch as... an al fresco situation. Like, she tells Ross to basically move up the bed and talk nearer her face because she's quite exposed. I'd never clocked an al fresco situation as how she describes it, but I love that.
It's very funny, isn't it? Although the weird thing about that is she's so well covered that nothing at all is visible. Like, you know, that's the camera angle is from below her legs, isn't it? And
what?
Do you know, like, where below her, the camera angle's down the end of her body, right?
Oh, I thought you meant it was like upskirting. I do not remember that scene.
That'd be a strange choice for the Friends director to make, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
I just think in the scene 9, I think we'll just start on the upskirt and then we'll move out and then we'll do the scene. No, I don't think that's likely. No, but what I mean is she seems to be overly panicking, but considering the fact that sheet is covering her very well. And you can't see anything.
Yes, she just obviously feels very self-conscious, doesn't she?
No, that's fine. What I will agree with Rachel on, though, and frankly, this is a hill I'm willing to die on, sonograms are fucking impossible at that stage. Nobody can... I think everyone's lying when they say they can see the baby. I'm completely with Rachel there. Like, the tiny white bit of, like, sort of ovaly shape amidst all the other bits of white on a black background. I mean, they're impossible to read.
The I don't see it joke is great. And when it comes back in the final scene as well is another lovely moment. And there's the other bit that I like in this scene, particularly good line is, and this is a David Schwimmer delivery as well, is I grew up with Monica. If you didn't eat fast, you didn't eat.
So you're right. Schwimmer's delivery makes that very funny because it's in the midst of this quite frantic argument, isn't it? And it's just an aside, but clearly something that is quite deep within Ross's core. Apparently the I don't see it line, originally it was supposed to be Ross that couldn't see the baby on the sonogram. And like,
really?
It was supposed to be a running joke about how, like, sort of what you were saying earlier, this man of science doesn't understand condoms, can't see the baby on, you know, that was kind of the runner, but then they changed it later and made it about Rachel.
It makes more sense because Rachel is the one who's adapting to being a parent, and they make a thing, don't they?
Absolutely. It makes loads more sense, especially because Ross could see the sonogram of Ben previously, so it wouldn't even really tie in with the fact that he sort of doesn't understand sonograms, you know? Although, talking about the sonogram, there's absolute magic of that sonogram, because Rachel hooks up to absolutely nothing and nothing's placed on her belly.
That's true, yeah.
They're just looking.
X-ray sonogram.
Yeah, it's just like remote sonogramming somehow. And that sort of wraps up that element of the plot line, I guess, doesn't it? The only other thing, the only other iconic moment is Joey getting the roll of condoms out. That's another, along with brand new information, great. That's probably the sort of big takeaway moment that you sort of remember, isn't it?
Dave, if you are a fan of quizzes, then oh my lord, is this the week for you?
I love a quiz. Well, yeah, have we got two?
Yes, I was going to do a more dramatic reveal. But
Let me start again. Oh my God, Peter, tell me more.
Well, Dave,
yeah,
we've got Oh, well, now you've said it.
No, go. This is going to end really well. Go on. Carry on. Do it.
Oh, we've got two quizzes.
That is brand new information.
Nice.
See?
Do we, though?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Why, have you got one of them?
One's in our email, our new email, the request
email. Yeah, I've got that.
And then the other one came from Louisa, who requested this episode. So I've got that one here. So we've got... I'll do Louisa's quiz for you first, and then you can do Alana's quiz for me after that, because... Based on last week's episode of the Alana's quiz, I'm really looking forward to that one.
And is this her attempt to redeem herself?
Yes, it's Alana's ridiculous, what book is it or something? What's the name of the book type quiz? So I'm kind of, I don't know if she's lent into the style of terrible quizzing that she adopted last week or if she's just done a regular quiz, but either way, I'm quite excited. So here you go. Well, quick fire, do the first quiz. This is from Louisa. What did Joey do to have his keys taken away?
I don't remember that.
Oh, he broke a bottle of ketchup, didn't he? And then used the
towels. Oh, ketchup and then used the towels. Yeah, okay.
What are Monica and Chandler's seat numbers on the plane?
Something J and K.
Care to venture again?
25.
25, J and K, yes. What happened at a previous building Trigger managed?
It burnt down.
It exploded. Yeah, burnt down it was, but yeah. Which button does Ross need to press to speak to the condom company?
One.
And what is Ross's yoga teacher called?
Can't remember.
Jasmine.
Okay.
Presumably Jasmine that used to work at the massage parlour, because there can't be two Jasmines and friends. That'd be mad, eh?
Decent quiz, thank you. Decent.
Very strong.
That sounds dismissive.
That was good, strong.
That quiz was fine. Let's move on to Alana, who's attempted to redeem herself for last week's shambles, and she's really put a lot of effort into the graphic design of the quiz, which you can't see, Dave, but
really?
I can. And Alana, it looks lovely. Question one, what did Phoebe and Joey need to retrieve from Monica and Chandler's apartment?
Guitar and Monica's chicken palm.
Yes, and she says, hopefully this means a chicken parmo and up the borough, if so. That won't mean much to anyone who doesn't live in the UK. A parmo is a chicken thing that people eat in Middlesbrough, a town in the... I nearly said in the Middle East. In the North
in the Middle East!
In the North East. Question two. Last time Monica and Chandler went on holiday, Joey broke something and cleaned it up with Monica's guest house, which resulted in M&C taking Joey's key off him. What did he break?
Ketchup bottle, and then the guest tiles.
This quiz is looking progressively beautiful in design.
Is it? Can you forward me the email so I can see it?
If I can be asked. Yeah. Yes, correct, ketchup. Question three, what's drawn on the Etch-A-Sketch when Ross is realising that he's not the type of guy that women can only have one night with?
I did note this. It's King Kong climbing up the Empire State Building.
That is correct. Question four, which airline do Monica and Chandler fly with?
Oh, that's a fucking great question. And I looked at it when I was doing my airport rant earlier and thought I should remember that. But I can't remember.
Transatlantic Airlines.
Yes, it was very generic. I remember that. Oh, it's annoying.
And finally, yoga teacher's name?
Jasmine.
Just in case you forgot it from a few moments ago, great. It is indeed Jasmine.
Solid quiz, Alani. You've redeemed yourself. Peter, please forward me that email now so I can see the beautiful graphic design.
God. Okay, hang on.
Oh my God, it's great. I didn't realise it was Joey that headed up the borough, Pete.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Riverside, clearly. God, it is like a proper glossy magazine... quiz this, isn't it?
She's done a wonderful job.
Yeah, well done. Great. Hey, Pete, what's next week's episode?
Well, not only is it the penultimate episode of this series of Friends of Friends.
Oh, my God.
It's another double requester.
Christ alive!
And it's the one with Ross!
Oh, Russ.
Yes.
Sorry, I misheard that as just Ross. I was like,
no, the one with Russ. Yeah.
That would be a terrible, terrible.
It's season 2, episode 10, the one with Russ.
Okay, and I'm going to ask the next person on the Friends with Friends Quizzed Instagram post to do a quiz. So the one with Russ, yes?
Yes, the one with Russ.
The one with Russ. Is the one with Russ?
Yes.
Russ. Russ? Russ.
Then you sounded like a dog doing a quiet bark.
Russ.
Bye. Mom
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.